Thank you very much, and it's my pleasure to be here and talk to you about our IDM program from VeriSign. Just to give you an idea of the agenda, what I'm going to be talking about first is going to be the marketplace for IDNs. Why did we come out with IDNs? And also some recent research that I just got my hands on Monday before I left. So I'll share some of that with you. It's just preliminary research that we just got in. Talk to you a little bit about VeriSign's IDN program, how it started. Talk to you a little bit about the standards and some of the guidelines that are also established from ICANN. And then since we've been in the IDN world, if you will, since November of 2000, I'll also talk to you about migration to those standards. And ultimately, everything about IDN is really about usage, right? Whether it's useful, whether it's easy, and, you know, what is the ultimate goal for IDN as far as end users are concerned? And I'll take some questions after that. So if we look at the worldwide domain name market, there are about 50.6 million domain names in the market today. The population that this domain name market addresses is actually becoming increasingly non-English speaking and has been. 76% of the world's online population resides outside of the U.S. 43% of the internet users do not speak English at all, not even as a second language. And the non-English speakers represent about 66% of the world's economy. So you can get a good feel for how widespread and how growing the non-English speaking internet user community is becoming. As I mentioned to you, we just did undertook some research for IDN, and we did it in three markets. We did the Scandinavian market, we did Germany and Spain. And we looked at, it's a quantitative research. What we wanted to find out was, what were people's attitudes about IDN? Were they aware of it at all? And if they were, what did they think? And were they going to ultimately purchase IDNs? In other words, you know, what was their intention? What was the purchase timing? And so forth. This is the research that I just got my hands on Monday, so I haven't had a chance to really look through the entire packet. But what it did show us was some very interesting numbers, particularly for Sweden, which I'll share with you. We did about 604 in-depth interviews, 200 in each country. And we did we talked to people who were qualified domain name purchasers. In other words, people who businesses who either had a domain name, had participated in the decision-making for a domain name, or had purchased one. What we'll find in terms of IDNs.com and net, the first, you know, that was the focus of the research, but we also looked at, for example, the CCTLD IDNs. Companies in Denmark, Spain, Germany, Norway had a pretty high awareness about IDNs. What's surprising is that in Sweden, we only had about a 2% awareness of IDNs. We feel that part of it is because of the fact that we haven't had partners who have been singularly focused on IDNs as we have in some of these other markets. So a lot of it has to do with how much our channels have pushed and made IDNs as a awareness. However, when we did talk to them, the participants had to have access to the internet. So while we talked to them and we walked them through what IDNs were, they were able to see an example. When we did talk to them about it, about 53 to 63% expressed an interest in purchasing an IDN. I should actually step back and say that for IDN.se, the awareness in Sweden was 22%. So if you contrast that, again, I think it's due to the great job that Nick.se has done in terms of providing the information about their program, making people aware in the market about the availability or upcoming availability of IDN. The top reasons to purchase were the fact that it really fit the local language. It's really a local product. So it's a way for companies and businesses to truly represent what their brand is without having to translate it into, you know, the typical ASCII characters. It is good for people who don't have English as a first language. I will stress this. For Scandinavian markets, and really for the European markets, the languages are extended Latin. right? So a lot of people here in Scandinavia speak English very well. So for them, this is not as big an issue. But if you think about Asian languages, if you think about Korean, if you think about Chinese, where English is not even sometimes a second language, then the point about being able to easily understand and being able to easily input an IDN becomes a very valid point. Top reasons not to purchase, I think sort of the flip side of it being a local product is that it is a local product. So a lot of people felt that outside of the country, then it would not be a viable domain name. One of the things that we very much agree with, Nick.se, is that IDNs should be right now purchased. It should not be the singular purchase or the singular name, for, you know, address for the company. It should be in conjunction with the existing domain name that you have. The other thing had to do with awareness. In other words, the companies felt, if they did not want to purchase it, that there was not enough awareness there about the product, and there was not enough acceptance as a result. So those were the key qualifiers for saying that they were not interested in purchasing. In Scandinavia, we've had a number of companies who've already purchased an IDN and are actually using it. Here are some examples, Norwegian, Danish, Swedish. You'll notice, again, that what it does give them is a choice to truly represent their brand name the way it's actually written, as opposed to the way it would be written in the ASCII world. So in Carlsberg has a very famous Öl.com, which I understand means beer. So it's become one of our most famous IDNs. People use that quite a bit because I think people can relate to that quite a bit. IDNs allow people to navigate in their own language. And what I mean by that is right now IDNs are set up for you to be able to navigate to it, meaning you can input it. It will take you to the website. I'll talk a little bit later on in the presentation about sort of the stages. There's the registration, there's a resolution. Ultimately, our view of IDNs is that it should be like any other domain name where you're able to not only navigate, but also use it for email and so forth. So I'll talk a little bit later about what are we doing in that perspective to make resolution fully realized. Our IDN program really is three stages, right? So the first stage is to participate with our registrars and getting them enabled to register an IDN. We work with a channel of ICANN-accredited registrars, so we're a wholesaler, if you will. And one of the first things that the registrars have to do in order to be able to sell IDN is they have to be able to enable their systems to take IDN registrations. Now, IDN, by their very nature, are non-ASCII characters. So what they have to do is they have to be able to encode the name into an ASCII character, which is something that the DNS would understand. For us, ultimately, the goal is to be able to register the name in second level and register it as that ASCII-compatible encoding, which, you know, as you may know, the standard is Punicode, so it would start with an XN dash dash, which is what would be stored in the DNS. And ultimately, resolution. The resolution is in three phases. You may have heard, how many of you have heard about the IDN plugin, just by a raise of show of hands? Okay. The IDN plugin is really an interim solution, meaning that until all the application providers are able to build IDN into their applications and become IDN aware, in other words, the plugin is a way to get us there. The plugin is what makes the browser able to navigate to that domain name. So a little bit about standards and guidelines. VeriSign started the IDN program back in November 9th of 2000. And when we started it, it was a testbed, and it's still a testbed. At that time, the standards track was going towards an ASCII-compatible encoding, ACE. And it seemed like the standard was going to be row-based ASCII-compatible encoding, which is RACE. Currently, all the domain name registrations that we have are still in RACE. So we were waiting for the standards community to come out, IETF, and to publish the standards. The RFCs were finally published in March of this year. So these are the RFCs, and actually the presentation has links so you can go directly to the documents. But they comprise about four. Ultimately, it does say that the resolution of IDNs should be built into the application. So instead of it being a server side, it should be built into the application. And there's also standards addressing name prep and encoding, which is really a way to get the non-ASCII characters encoded into something that the DNS understands. We've also worked with ICANN to come up with the registration guidelines for IDNs. We've had a lot of experience as obviously being in it for about three years, to come up and help in terms of trying to draft some of these registrations. One of the things that we wanted to, and we've agreed to these, one of the things that we feel that's very important is to, for all of the IDNs that are out there, to actually comply with standards. I mean, that goes without saying. However, you know, that's sort of the main cornerstone of the ICANN's registration guidelines. It has to be an inclusion-based approach. And it also, for example, in our case, it's actually a little bit different than the local ccTLD. We are able to register names in any language. So our registration, for example, has names in Korean, Chinese, simplified Chinese, traditional Chinese, you know, extended Latin languages and so forth. However, for the local ccTLD, it's a bit different because they have to address their local market. And I think Nick Dadasi will do a great job in explaining to you some of the considerations that they had in trying to address the market for Sweden. As part of that, our registrations, we've also supported the establishment of language tables. So in our case, for example, with Chinese, and we've supported the establishment of language tables, and we're using those put together by TWNIC. The last thing I think that's important, again, particularly for some of the local ccTLDs, is to also provide in-language support and information for the registrations that they take. As I mentioned, all of our registrations are currently in RACE. So one of the things we have to do for our channel, if you will, is to be able to come up with a plan that addresses how do we get these registrations that are currently in RACE to ultimately migrate to a PUNI code. What we've done is we've put together a plan that allows our registrars to take registrations in RACE as well as PUNI code. Some of our registrars may not be able to go, if we set a deployment date, may not be able to go exactly on that date. So what we've done is we've said, we will take the registrations in RACE if you give them to us, but we'll store it in PUNI code. We highly encourage them, however, to do the registrations in PUNI code because it helps them in terms of their migration effort. So it's almost like a parallel track, if you will. However, in terms of resolution, the IDN plugin will be able to resolve both RACE and PUNI code as well. So regardless of what the registration may be when it's sent to us, it is stored in PUNI code, and then the IDN plugin will be able to do both RACE and PUNI code. One of the I talked earlier about navigation, and then I also mentioned that you know, ultimately, our vision for IDN is that it should be able to operate like any normal domain name, meaning that you should be able to navigate to it. You should also be able to use email with it. We've done some significant work in terms of trying to enable email for the plugin. And I, from what I understand, I had a conversation with our technical team last night. They've been working with, actually, Nick.se. We've been working with a number of other ccTLDs and testing the INAV plugin for email. We've been testing it with DKNIC, with RUNIC, PLNIC. These are some of the ccTLDs that are interested in IDNs. And also JPNIC, who's had actually an IDN program for a long time. The email component of the plugin will be released sometime in the November-December timeframe. But basically, this is just to show you that you know, our vision doesn't just stop at navigation, but it also is more inclusive to have full usage of the IDN domain name. How many of you have actually used IDNs? Very few.
What do you mean by used?
Tried it. Okay. Actually, that pretty much fits the, I guess, the 2% number that we had in Sweden, right? And you guys are probably far more technically advanced than the average end user. But anyhow, the way that our resolution works, we talked a little bit earlier about registration and how we take registrations. So the second part is really resolution. How do we make these names resolve? The way our systems work right now is that it's actually two phases. One, which is the web-based navigation. If you were to type in an IDN right now and you don't have an IDN client, you go to our web-based navigation service, which basically says, oh, there's at least one non-ASCII character in the stream. So it sends it off to our web farm, and you will be able to get an invitation to download the IDN client. Now, for whatever reason, you may not want to download the IDN client. If you choose not to download it, then you'll still be able to resolve to the website, and you'll still see earl.com or henker.com in the browser as opposed to the race encoding. If you do decide to download the IDN now, the INAV plugin, then that will be something that's resident on your machine. And from then on, no matter what IDNs you go to, it will be able to resolve. One of the components or one of the main tenets of design for the INAV plugin was not only that it be standards compliant, but also that we supported the work of other ccTLDs who wanted to come out with an IDN. So what that means is if you have an IDN plugin downloaded, then it will be able to resolve not only the COM and NET names, but it will also be able to resolve .SE names, .KR, .JP, any other ccTLD that has come out with an IDN that is standards compliant. It will be able to resolve that. So there's no additional component that you would need. Oh, one more thing about the INAV plugin for email. It will be available for Outlook, some of the most popular email programs, Outlook, Outlook Express, Hotmail, Yahoo, and et cetera. One of the other things that we're doing is we're trying very very hard to try and get some of the application developers to also support IDNs. As I mentioned before, we do not see the INAV plugin as the end-all be-all. It is simply an interim solution. So we've had a very active part in being able to work with some of the application providers. Really, the largest one is Microsoft, actually. If Microsoft were to build it into the browsers and, you know, Outlook clients and so forth, that would be the ideal. However, until that time comes, there's some steps that we could make. Actually, in November, there was an event in California, an IDN Connect event, that brought together different application vendors. We were a part of that, and it was for our part was to be able to provide our open source SDK, things that we have learned, to be able to share with the application development community so that they can make their applications IDN aware. Right now, Netscape 7.1 supports IDNs. It is IDN aware, so is Mozilla. There's some initial implementation in Opera. That browser is actually a very, very small percentage of the market. I think the last figure that I heard, particularly across Scandinavia, Microsoft Explorer had about a 96% penetration rate in this market. So again, that's very key. We've also are putting together an IDN software consortium, which means that it's going to continue the work that we've done before, continue the work with IETF. The first meeting is actually going to be this November coming up. And the purpose of it is, again, to kind of really take the lessons learned from the INAV, the technology that we've developed for the INAV, and enable application providers to build it in so that there is no dependency on INAV as a long-term solution. We've been cooperating with NIC.SC on a number of different levels, one of which I think the goals that we share is we both realize that we have the same objective in terms of IDNs. We want to make the market aware of IDNs. It's sort of a rising tide, you know, that lifts everybody up. So if there is more awareness of IDNs and how they work, and if there's some commonality in terms of approach to design, then it's that much better for the end user community. We've been working with them more specifically in terms of testing the iNav email component. That is the end of my presentation. Are there any questions that I can take?